You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the 3 o'clock hour, and so it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Today, we're joined by a very special guest hailing from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, where he served as their representative in Congress for 11 years. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show to Congressman Mark Pocan. Welcome, Mark. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Well, thanks, Maggie. Glad to be on.
You are a small business owner, a union member, and an advocate for progressive causes and policies that help promote both economic and social justice. I always like to say you can't have social justice without economic justice. You're also chair of the Equality Caucus. You're co-chair of the Labor Caucus and chair emeritus of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. We're going to talk today about what's at stake for Wisconsinites in this upcoming election. And so let's start with the one thing that's on everybody's mind, and that's the cost of living, whether we're talking about housing or childcare or groceries and everything in between. Both Donald Trump and Vice President Harris have talked a lot about what their plans are to make living more affordable for regular middle-class Americans. But there's a big gap in the potential impacts of their policies and what they're proposing. What do you see as the main differences between the two candidates' proposals?
Well, I think, you know, Vice President Harris already can point to things we've done in the Inflation Reduction Act to help lower costs for medical care and for energy, specifically, negotiating for prescription drug prices for the first time ever, you know, to help bring the cost of drugs down, to cap the out-of-pocket expenses for seniors to no more than $2,000 on Medicare, to cap insulin to $35. Again, unfortunately, only for people on Medicare. We wanted to go farther. All of those things I just mentioned, by the way, Project 2025 wants to get rid of, but all things that Democrats did. Also, a number of things around renewable energy so that we don't have to rely on foreign countries and price fixing and supply fixing. So, you know, that it was also in there. But I think the issues that we hear about the most and that I think you can really compare and contrast the vice president to former President Trump is around groceries and gasoline. Both, I think, were being price gouged by big corporations. In the case of food, I think four companies account for the distribution of 65 to 70% of our grocery store food. So certainly that can lead to increased prices and corporate greed. We saw what recently Walmart and Target lower their prices arbitrarily. That told us they were arbitrarily too high to begin with. And the head of the FTC, Chair Lena Khan, has been going after them specifically. Also, gasoline, same thing. Back in May, Chair Lena Khan went after an oil company executive who just sold to Exxon, who they found hundreds of communications to OPEC, a foreign entity, about supply fixing and price fixing. So Democrats are doing something about it. And then Donald Trump just says his answer for everything is tariffs. And, you know, it's kind of like a broken clock. You're right twice a day. He's right. Tariffs are helpful in certain targeted cases. When they're dumping cheap steel, we protected the steel industry here through tariffs. But throwing tariffs on everything is just stupid. And that's what Donald Trump's proposal is. It's really a tax on consumers at that point. China doesn't pay anything, like he keeps saying, just like Mexico didn't pay for the wall. China doesn't pay for tariffs. We do as consumers. So his answers are going to cost people more. Her answers are trying to bring down the costs and have fairness. And I think that's the comparison I would talk about to people.
Yeah, I think we've tried to emphasize you need to look at Donald Trump's plans as a whole. And frankly, trying to replace a progressive tax system where the rich are required to pay their fair share with tariffs that largely burden consumers, and consumers are the middle class, is, as you put it, stupid. I love it.
Yeah.
Because you're a regular guy. You say it in regular guy terms. That's just stupid. Yes. It won't work well or at all, frankly. And the reality is we talked to Heather Cox Richardson last week on Friday, and she said, listen, we have a long history with tariffs in this country, and all it did was make the monopolists richer, right? The robber barons richer. It led to the Great Depression, which came on the heels of the Gilded Age. We don't want to go back to that. We know that these issues are sometimes complicated, but there's one thing that isn't complicated, and you referenced it, Congressman, in your prior response, and that's the corporate greed and the evidence, the very clear evidence of corporate greed that we've seen mm-hmm. again and again. How are you and the Harris campaign trying to crack down on price gouging and these monopolistic behaviors by corporations specifically?
I mean, the easiest thing is just calling them out, right? Because if they know that people are watching, they're less likely to have bad behavior. And, you know, fortunately, Vice President Harris has been doing that, as has Tim Walz. Also, people like the chair of the Federal Trade Commission, Lena Khan, is great at what she's doing, right? And she just came through Sauk County and Dane County a couple weeks ago now. And we talked about, you know, the price gouging with groceries with those four companies right now. A quarter of every dollar that goes to groceries in this country goes to Walmart. And then Kroger right now is trying to, you know, merge with Albertsons, which would even give people less choice and have even more increased prices. So, you know, just talking about what really is impacting what's going on, and that there was some greed coming out of COVID, and people, you know, did shrinkflation and other things, you know, makes it less likely to happen. That's why Target and Walmart had a lower prices. And on gasoline, you know, just don't elect people who, you know, like to hug oil barons, you know, at night, because, you know, Donald Trump, you know, it's like a giant, you know, oily teddy bear to him. You know, he just loves them so much. Lots of smooches and kisses. But, you know, for the rest of us, we know what they're doing. They've been impacting us, I think, since that bad weather situation about 4 or 5 years ago in Texas, where they didn't have the infrastructure and they had to close down processing. They jacked prices up at that point, and they never really brought them back down. They've just been making us get ripped off. And now when we see the correspondence between oil company executives, like the FTC exposed in May, hundreds of communications about price fixing and supply fixing, we should be mad at oil companies and not politicians or anyone else, because those oil companies are price gouging. But you should be maybe mad at the politicians who allow them to do that. And, you know, so I think there are things that we can do that are pretty easy in talking about this. And I actually saw a poll. People know that we're better at on prices than Republicans, that we are saying something, that we will go after the people who make the big profits. Where for Donald Trump, he just wants to give those people even bigger tax breaks, and hopefully they'll fill out a Mar-a-Lago membership form along the way.
Yeah, not just the politicians that sort of kowtow to big oil and the oil barons, but the politicians like Donald Trump, who literally promised them to deregulate and let them run roughshod over the middle class, you know, in exchange for, I don't know, $1 billion in corporate campaign donations. The very definition of corruption. Shocking, indeed. You hit on something, Congressman, that I think is so critical, and it gets glazed over, I think, a lot. And that is that consumers, which are, again, the middle class, we are the ones that buy stuff with and use the majority of our paychecks to buy stuff, whether that's cars, housing, gas, groceries, childcare, etc., that we do best when there is healthy competition in every market. And when you see fewer businesses participating in any given market, right? The dominance of Walmart in terms of groceries, this merger of Kroger and Albertsons, the dominance of just a handful of energy companies, the dominance of just a handful of what I'm going to call information technology companies, right? Mm-hmm. This is not good for consumers. And any sort of policy that further insulates the largest corporations from competition and from regulation, which helps level the playing field for small businesses, isn't good for the middle class. Or am I getting that wrong, Congressman?
No, in fact, you take it another step further. Wisconsin, we're fortunate. We have more family farms than most states, but the corporate, you know, farms, the CAFOs that keep, you know, buying up other farmers, not only are they not as good for the land environmentally, but it jacks up prices when there's fewer of those companies rather than your family farmer, you know, someone who might be a neighbor from your community who's helping to supply the food chain. So, you know, I think all of these need to be called out. And, you know, for people who claim that they support the free market, generally what they mean is they support the free market for them, and they're okay if they want to do consolidation and make a bunch of money. I just saw, I think it's by 2027, Elon Musk is on track to be the world's first trillionaire. Trillionaire. I've got a trillion reasons why that's a bad idea, right? And you know that. And now he's out after he said he wanted to make the platform less political. He's doing just the opposite. We all have to read his stupid tweets because now he owns it and he can, you know, do the algorithm. So you're seeing things as he wants you to. Look, anytime you don't have competition, you're going to have people being price gouged and ripped off. And by these monopolies, it goes back, you know, Farty Bob Follett from Wisconsin was one of the, you know, people at the forefront nationally fighting this stuff. We need to keep doing it from our vantage points in Wisconsin.
Yeah, as an economist, people ask me, small business owners ask me all the time about business taxation, right, and regulation. And I said, these aren't questions about if we do this. These are questions about the right regulations, the right level of tax that brings about competition and helps support small businesses and the middle class. When the largest, most dominant, market-dominant businesses avoid their fair share of tax, that's hurting small businesses because they're not competing on a level playing field. It's sort of the antithesis of capitalism, if you will, and yeah. All of that in turn hurts middle-class pocketbooks.
Well, and Project 2025 wants to then lower the corporate tax rate and bring back offshore tax havens, which is something that I don't think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris got nearly enough credit for, finally going after that, where you could just have a little room in Ireland and claim that's your corporate headquarters, and all your profits from the United States are attributed to that one little room in Ireland or some other country that doesn't have a corporate tax. To bring that back is just an awful, awful policy. But, you know, Donald Trump's 140 staff who wrote the Project 2025 report, the 920 pages of it, know what they're doing.
Yeah, that alone, if you were going to vote on that idea alone, that everyone needs to pay their fair share, is enough of a justification to vote for Vice President Harris and Tim Walz. There are so many more. We're going to talk more about tax policy with my very special guest, Congressman Mark Pocan of the 2nd Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin, on this special episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More on tax policy coming right up. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. I'm host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every day at 3 o'clock, we have a segment called Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. And today, our very special guest is the congressional representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He's represented the 2nd District for 11 years in Congress. His name is Mark Pocan. He's been fighting for you and your family and the middle class here in Wisconsin for his entire political career, dating back to his assembly days here in the state legislature. I thank you for that, sir, and I thank you for being here. We talk about taxes all the time on this show because, as I like to say, if you care about child care policy, you got to care about tax policy. If you want a more secure border, you got to care about tax policy. All of these things go back to where is the government getting our revenues from? So last week we had on Amy Hanauer. She is the president of the Nonpartisan Institute on Tax and Economic Policy. They just dropped a bombshell new report. It analyzed the impact of all of Donald Trump's tax and economic proposals. And what they found was that Donald Trump's proposals would raise taxes on the bottom 95% of Americans while cutting taxes for the richest 5%. And I wanted to ask you, sir, what part of Donald Trump's tax proposals are you most worried about for the people of Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I like to make people aware of Project 2025. And, you know, they're the plan that Trump's folks and in the Heritage Foundation and other groups are promoting would take 7 tax brackets down to 2. And I know you're going to be shocked, but the wealthiest are going to pay less. And if you make up to $120,000 as a couple, you're going to pay more. And just that tax measure alone, not all the ones that Amy Hanover's group put together, but just that one alone will cost the average Wisconsinite about $3,100. So that is just showing you, you know, don't forget that big tax break that Donald Trump did for the wealthiest. 83% of the money went to the top 1%, and it added $7 trillion to the national debt at the same time. That's how he handles tax policy. The other thing I think it's worth mentioning, just in general, and it's a little wonky, but I think it's important. Sometimes we spend money on healthcare at the federal level. Sometimes we spend money on, the environment, or we spend money on, you know, veterans. Those are expenditures. When you have a tax cut, that's a tax expenditure. It's no different than money you would have spent on healthcare or something else. So I just want people to really understand that the tax breaks, especially if you're not seeing it, that's money that would have gone to education or healthcare or the veterans or whoever else. And tax expenditure should be in everyone's vocabulary, because it's not tax cuts. It's where you're prioritizing money. Instead of giving healthcare to everyone, you're giving tax cuts to a few.
Yeah, Mark, thank you so much for that. I rail about this all the time. I was an economist before I became a lawyer. And I say to people, it is exactly equivalent if you hand somebody a dollar to help a middle-class family afford childcare. That is exactly economically equivalent to cutting taxes by a dollar for a billionaire. It's the exact, it has the exact same impact on our federal budget and on our debt management and all those things. So let's make a value choice about what's most important to us as Wisconsinites and Americans. And I say, those are tax and economic policies that help build a stronger and frankly wealthier middle class. I heard an ad today, Representative, that said that Kamala Harris wants to raise taxes on American families. And I was screaming at the radio. That's a lie. She wants to raise taxes on people making more than $400,000 a year. I don't know about you, but that ain't me.
No. And, you know, and other things, at some point we've got to deal with Social Security.
Yep.
And right now, if you make more than, I think it's about $165,000, $170,000, you don't pay another dime into Social Security. It's actually a regressive tax where people who make smaller amounts are taxed and the people who make more don't get taxed beyond that $170,000. And yet, you know, that's the future of the Social Security fund right there. You could simply take care of it by having tax equity and by continuing that percent no matter how much you make. So, you know, so often, you know, next year in particular, we're going to do all the tax bills in Congress. So whoever is in charge of Congress, who gets elected on November 5th, if we pick up those 4 seats in the House, you're going to have Democrats as your watchdogs, the people who want to instead have us invest in expenditures to help people with childcare or to help people with health care, versus just giving it to the wealthiest, the people who just so happen to kind of belong to clubs like Mar-a-Lago. And guess who benefits? The giant orange guy. You know, that's what happens.
Him and all of his billionaire bro buddies. I mean, I don't understand it. You mentioned this about Social Security, and I would be remiss if I didn't say this in response. Hey, you want to help shore up Social Security funding? Then do what Representative Pocan just recommended, which is apply a Social Security tax for the dollars earned above $170,000 a year, instead of having a regressive Social Security tax that penalizes folks that make less money. That's how you help shore up Social Security funding. We listened to Eric Hovde running for Senate against one of the most fierce advocates for the middle class, Senator Tammy Baldwin. And he's, we'll just have fewer Wisconsinites receive Social Security and have them get it later. Like, wait a minute. Why not do the obvious thing that's more fair for everybody instead of providing less support for people that work for a living? Let's talk about Project 2025 briefly. When it comes to social issues, it's really scary. Are there some of the social programs or social proposals in Project 2025 that jump out to you most, Mark?
God, there's so many. It's 920 yeah. pages. Getting rid of the Department of Education is a bad idea. Getting rid of Head Start, something that gives kids of lower income a chance to have an equal chance in those important years is really important. Lots of anti-diversity, equity, inclusion provisions, lots of anti-LGBTQI plus provisions. But, you know, one thing I do want to mention, it relates a little to the last. It doesn't talk explicitly about Social Security. It says it didn't have time to, but the Heritage Foundation that, you know, is the lead group behind this has proposed raising the retirement age to 69, as has the Republican Study Committee, the largest caucus in the Republican of all the Republicans in Congress. Yes. So when you talk about that, that's a cut because you won't get it as early. And if you're someone who's a laborer who works with your hands, you know, you're probably not going to be able to keep working, period, past that time. So I think those are provisions. And then also, real important, it wants to put everyone on Medicare under privatized Medicare, and that's an awful idea.
Folks, we've got to leave it there. Representative Pocan, I would love to have you come back. There's so much we could discuss leading up to this election. Thank you on a personal note for all of your work on behalf of the LGBTQIA plus community. You are a leader and servant to the people of Wisconsin. Folks, we'll be back with more with a ProPublica reporter after these important messages talking about ballot drop boxes. Don't miss it here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org and be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of civic media stations.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin and beyond. Welcome if you're just joining us. Welcome back if you're tuning back in. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, there's a huge debate coming up on Friday. Senator Tammy Baldwin's going to be teeing off against the carpetbagger, otherwise known as Eric Hovde, banker extraordinaire from California. They're going to have their one and only debate this Friday. Civic Media has got you covered. That debate's being hosted by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. You're going to want to tune in for this special coverage. We're going to have pre-debate coverage, again, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Check it out. But right now, I want to talk with a reporter from ProPublica. Her name is Megan O'Matt. She just did a piece on the most generous way to put it would be the Dropbox kerfuffle in Wisconsin. But of course, her reporting comes within this much broader context, right? Wisconsinites, we blew over $1 million so Robin Voss could task former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman on the wild goose chase, MyPillow fandango to find some sort of irregularities in the election. Nothing came of it. But, you know, we blew $1 million of your hard-earned taxpayer money on it. We've got the big lie that continues to be perpetuated by the former president. The vice president can't say who actually won the election in 2022 on the debate stage. We're seeing, again, indicators across the country that Republicans are frankly trying to change the rules of the game right before the game is supposed to be played. And all of this then getting the cherry on top of the guano sundae with Donald Trump promising that he's going to sick the National Guard and the military after his political opponents. So I'm really excited to bring Megan onto the show to talk about her reporting of this ballot box kerfuffle. And just today, everybody, we heard, I believe it was either late yesterday or early today, a Georgia Superior Court judge, in response to the loosening of rules around election certification by the Georgia Election Commission, said that when the state law says the words shall certify the election by a specific date in November, It actually means that election clerks shall certify the election results by a certain date in November. That decision just coming down, a blow to the efforts to basically steal votes from folks by Republicans in the state of Georgia. We got Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin purging tens of thousands of voters off the rolls, violating the 90-day rule, where that's not supposed to happen once you get within the window of 90 days before an election. All kinds of things going on across the country. And with all of this in mind, we very humbly and gratefully welcome reporter Megan O'Malley from ProPublica. Thanks for making time, Megan.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, there are some really interesting details in your reporting. Tell us, most of us are familiar with the fact that we had this sheriff in Dodge County arguably bullying local clerks into not offering drop boxes. We know that Wausau Mayor Doug Diney decided to just, you know, take his dolly and roll away a drop box. But you got into some of the other details that people may not be so familiar with. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's just so interesting overall that these are they're boxes and that they are really, really controversial in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Here you had the mayor, as you said, absconding with one. You have a local are debating whether voters should return their ballot in them. You have documentaries made about them. You have two, not one, but two Supreme Court decisions about these decisions in order to
I'm going to hop in, Megan. We're having a wee bit of trouble hearing you, so I just put our studio line in the chat. Why don't you go ahead and give us a call so we can hear you loud and clear? I want to fill people in on the background of this movie that Megan referred to, which she discusses in her piece for ProPublica. Again, this is Megan O'Matt. She's a reporter for ProPublica. This movie, y'all have heard of this. This was the 2000 Mule fantasy film. 2000 Mules, totally discredited, not based on fact, and they got sued, both the media distributor, Salem Media Group, as well as the filmmaker and others involved with the film. Salem Media Group, the distributor, has since apologized for the film and the misstatements, the misinformation included therein, and they have removed it from circulation. And the litigation is proceeding against the filmmaker and others because, again, it's hogwash. So this is all part of that meta context of what's going on. Megan, please continue. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, sorry about that technical difficulty. Yes, so obviously there's been all this kind of commotion about it, and ProPublica decided to sort of put this all together for people to see an overview how this election will be different than the last time, where it was during COVID, and more a lot of places turned to using drop boxes because a lot of voters didn't trust the mail or didn't make it in time or didn't feel that they wanted to be in a very, you know, crowded polling place during that day. They wanted to return their ballot to the box or to the clerk directly. And after that movie came out, you know, there just grew to be all of this suspicion, and the movie, as you know, has been debunked. So, but that it's been a lasting problem here. I think especially for folks that are still distrust this ballot drop box.
Yeah, it's really interesting because Republicans themselves, there's this sort of, it's almost talking out of both sides of their mouths a bit, right? Because on the one hand, you had Republicans after the 2020 election and Donald Trump himself deriding the use of drop boxes and, in fact, suing over it in the state of Wisconsin. We ended up with two Supreme Court decisions finally clarifying that, indeed, the drop boxes are legal and within a city clerk's discretion to use. So all of this criticism of the drop boxes, and now Donald Trump and many Republicans advocating mail-in ballots and drop boxes and vote early. It seems totally inconsistent. What's going on here?
Yes, exactly. And one thing that I was really interested in was that, I don't know if your listeners have heard of True the Vote, but that is an organization that has really fostered doubt about elections and helped inspire the 2000 Mules movie. And Catherine has been on social media in the last few weeks giving a tour of drop boxes, which is which I thought was pretty interesting. She was in Madison showing how here's a drop box in front of a fire station, and look, the slot is small enough that you couldn't put anything else in the drop box. So she declared it, you know, that while she still didn't trust them, if you have to use them, then this one looked like a pretty good one. At the same time, her group and others are saying that they want to live stream them and have people watch them around the clock. So I don't really know what message voters are getting from this. It definitely is a mixed message, I think, you know, that here we want to swamp the vote. We want you to vote early. We'll want you to vote by many means. But at the same time, we think that these boxes need to be watched around the clock, videotaped around the clock, and so on.
It's weird. I'll use that word, and that's my language, not reporter Megan Omatsis from ProPublica. And you were referring to Catherine. This is Catherine Engelbrecht. She is founder of True the Vote, who is trafficked in a lot of misinformation and conspiracy theories around drop boxes. And of course, we've got U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde saying that there should be like citizen brigades watching the drop boxes. I can think of nothing more that would be actually less productive related to elections than sitting around watching drop boxes. If somebody wants to get involved, listen, you can be a poll monitor. You can volunteer to do all these things. But it is this weird sort of doublespeak where at the one time they seem to question them, and on the other hand, they seem to encourage people to use them. One of the things that you pointed out in your piece is that, for example, the city of Brookfield has voted and decided not to offer the drop boxes based on some advice from their city attorney at the time that the precautions to help ensure that they were secure and to allay voters' fears are now too onerous, which again seems like the world has sort of turned on its head. Republicans in more conservative jurisdictions wanted greater drop box security. They are now given recommendations for greater drop box security, but now we won't use them because they require greater drop box security. Am I getting that mostly correct, Megan?
Yeah, so when I looked at the guidance, it's just guidance from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It's not too dissimilar from what they had out there in 2020, and that's that, you know, you would like the box to be bolted to the ground so nobody can make off with it. You want it to be there to be a log of people that are opening the box and when they're opening it. You want a chain of custody, basically a recording of that. So they did lay out different steps versus kinds of seals and locks on the boxes and labeling and things. And again, their guidelines, their recommendations, their best practices, if you want to say. But it seems that some cities have found them onerous, and they may be worried about legal trouble later. You know, if they miss a step, would that, you know, somehow invalidate things or get them in trouble? I mean, already Catherine Engelbrecht has asked, made public records requests for all the footage of these drop boxes, and undoubtedly to be used if need be in litigation later on.
And if that footage exists, she will be entitled to it as it is an open record. You spoke with Brittany Vulich, who is a Wisconsin campaign manager for the nonpartisan voting rights group All Voting is Local. And she made a really fascinating point that you included in your article. What was it, Megan? We've got just a little bit over a minute left.
Well, many of these election clerks are women, and Brittany felt that basically that these mayors and sheriffs and council men that are handing down these votes and pressure not to use drop boxes are undermining their authority. So they're undermining the authority of the female election clerks. And the Supreme Court said very clearly that this is a decision of the election clerks on whether or not to use the drop boxes.
Yeah, it's as someone who has advised election clerks in my prior capacity as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel, and advised an election commission in my former job, I have an idea. We should leave election administration to the actual election experts who have been doing this for years and years and years. The vast number of election clerks in this state have been in their positions for a long time, unless effectively they've gotten bullied and scared out of the job since the 2020 election. It's high time, again, we trust the folks who are experts as opposed to partisans who happen to, you know, catch which way the wind is blowing and not be bothered with too many facts or reality. Megan, thank you so much for your excellent reporting and for making time for us here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you, Maggie. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Folks, that's Megan O'Matz. She's a reporter with ProPublica. Just put out a piece about a week ago on the battle drop box kerfuffle here in the state of Wisconsin. You can go check that out at www.propublica.org. I'm going to be back with some final thoughts on all of this mess right here on the Civic Media Radio Network and the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. All night, come on, dance with me. I'm levitating. Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. Hope y'all are having a good Tuesday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to Megan O'Matz of ProPublica for coming on the show to talk about her work, her coverage of the Dropbox baloney that has gone down in the state. I had a few observations, wanted to share them with all of you. Because, you know, I used to do some legal advisory work related to election administration. And all of this strikes me as both odd and in bad faith. And one of the things that bugs me the most is that when people who hold their positions in public trust, in other words, it's not about you, you're not permanently the sheriff of Dodge County. You're not permanently the mayor of Wausau. You hold these positions in public trust. When you engage in bad faith, and bad faith here to me has two different elements. Either intentional ignorance, a failure to avail oneself of fact and a clear understanding of the law, or you actually know it's all garbage and you do it anyways. So the knowing lie. And in every single case, whether we're talking about Sheriff Dale Schmidt in Dodge County, if we're talking about Wausau Mayor, what's this guy's name? Doug Diney. Whether we're talking about Alderman Gary McCorn from Brookfield, you're engaging in bad faith. Either a failure to educate yourself about the law and the facts, or you know you're lying, and it's even worse. Either way, your ignorance, incompetence, or failure to tell people the truth is wrong. Drop boxes have been safe and secure in Wisconsin for well over 15 years, used without controversy for that entire period. And by the way, all else being equal, drop boxes are extremely helpful in the most rural counties because it's harder for people to travel longer distances to get to the fewer number of polling places. Mail can sometimes be less reliable. By the way, if you want to make sure your ballot gets counted and you are voting early or by mail, my advice, you need to get that in 2 weeks before November 5th. So let's see. I'm going to actually whip out the calendar because I don't want anybody to miss my Maggie Dawn 2 week deadline. 2 weeks before November 5th would be this coming Tuesday, a week from today. You want to make sure that your ballot is in the mail. And I wanted to share with you what Alderman Gary McCorn of Brookfield said when Brookfield decided not to have drop boxes, which, shame on you, Brookfield. They are safe, secure. It's a good thing to have. You just heard from Megan O'Matz. The new security recommendations aren't all that different. Come on, man. Here's what he said. He argued that Dropbox has served a purpose during the COVID-19 pandemic, but then, quote, became a hugely political issue, and that's what makes me want to, you know, puke in a way. The further we get away from people trusting our elections, the more our democracy is at stake. No, Gary, it's not the drop boxes. It's the people lying about the drop boxes. That's what's making our democracy weaker. The trafficking in conspiracy, the failure of people who hold their positions in public trust to educate themselves about the facts and the law. Because the fact is that drop boxes are safe and secure in a perfectly reasonable way for people to return their ballots. That's the fact. The law is that the Common Council of the City of Brookfield has no authority over whether or not they use drop boxes. According to the Supreme Court, only the city elections clerk does. It is their sole authority. So why are you wading into this, Gary? It ain't your job. Now, you can have an opinion, but you shouldn't be voting on it because it's not your job. It's not, you do not possess the authority to make that decision according to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So, yeah, if you're a law and order guy, a rule guy, then follow the rules. And if you don't know what they are, then shame on you. If you know what they are and you're lying about it, double shame on you. One of our texters, Melissa from the 608, said that the Eric Hovde minions are out in Madison, sent us a photo of a guy sitting in a lawn chair watching a Dropbox on Willie Street in Madison. Thanks for that. Go ahead, waste your time, bro. It's been a real pleasure. We got Dom Salvia up next. There's going to be a little overtime with Maggie Dawn on the Dom Salvia Show. Remember, everybody, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.